Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it will be my pleasure to welcome back Abigail Scherer. She is a reverend and a dynamic speaker and talented teacher. She is known for her practical advice and her study of spiritual masters from all the great religions. She believes we are all part of the human race, here to help create the life God intended us to have, one of absolute fun, complete abundance, and freedom. Her vision is to transform the planet by helping people awaken to their own magnificence and tap into their own connection with the divine. Reverend Abigail founded Center for Spiritual Living Peninsula, which is affiliated with Centers for Spiritual Living, in August 2012. A year after graduation from Holmes Institute of Consciousness Studies with her master's degree. Additionally, she successfully founded Sister Spirit Women's Retreat in 2008 and continues to be the facilitator of the annual Transformative Retreat. She recently left her 11 career in development at Stanford University to pursue ministry full-time and to live as the example for people to follow their dreams. Now, she has not dialed into the studio yet, so I'm going to play a song by New Thought singer Jennifer Farron, and while I do that, I will call Abigail and see what's going on. So here is Jennifer Farron singing Throw It All Away.
Trauma that can come
And that was Jennifer Farron singing Throw It All Away. She's been a guest on the show. She's a wonderful guest as well as being a wonderful singer. And so it is my pleasure to tell you that Abigail Scherer is in the studio now. So, Abigail, how are you tonight?
I am extraordinary. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. I'm recovering from a heartache. My mother passed away a month and a half ago. But
it was a tough one.
Yeah, but you know, it's life goes on, and I'm in a place of gratitude for her life and having been a presence with me for so many years, and just recognizing that she's in a better place. So all of those things help me to accept that there's a reason for everything, and that I'm okay. She's wonderful, and that life goes on.
Yeah, and I think the holidays are always a hard time for anybody who's lost somebody, so it must be extra challenging for you this year.
Actually, it's been fine. So far, so good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Well, my heart goes out to you. Just want you to know that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've had a lot of support. But, well, you know, it's been a while since we've talked, perhaps almost a year. What's been going on for you?
Well, I've had some extraordinary things happening in my life. I have, I'm doing this women's retreat that I do. We're expanding and growing, and I love that we're having, it's called Sister Spirit, and we're having an opportunity to collaborate with so many other centers and different types of organizations and partner with people to make day retreats. So I'm excited about that.
That's great. That's wonderful. I think that it's wonderful when women can come together in a safe environment and explore the spiritual dimension. And it's wonderful when all people can do that. But I applaud you for your efforts on that behalf, and I wish you well with it.
Thank you. Well, I think part of it is that the, you know, I think that the pendulum for the divine masculine has been in a certain place, and then there's the rise of the divine feminine that's coming into our world to be equal with the divine masculine. And that's a really beautiful thing. So it's not just women, but it's men also embracing the aspect of the divine feminine, which has to do with collaboration and nurturing and the end of competition. Instead of utilizing, so power is the essence of the divine masculine, and that has been kind of translated to be overpowering. And I think now with the rise of the divine feminine, it's now empowering. So I really love that our world is shifting and changing from that point of view of overpowering to empowering. And that's the perfect marriage between the masculine and the feminine. So I'm really excited about this, because I know that there's an awakening happening, and I think that a lot of people are really tuning into that, and it's really a precious time to be alive right now.
Well, I agree with that. I have found that some people feel threatened by that. What do you think there is about that, and how can you speak to them to help them get past that dis-ease?
Threatened by what?
By the divine feminine, by the use of terms like mother, father, God, or our mother who art in heaven, which they do in my church, and some people bristle when there's parts that way. I mean, we're accustomed to the traditional our father, but there's so much more. I mean, God knows no gender. And I think people get very confused about that, especially as far as their upbringing goes and how they may have viewed God in the past. And so I'm just wondering if there's anything you can say to people that feel upset about the divine feminine coming into play as an aspect of God.
Well, that's a really good question. I think that it has to do with, you know, our own identity. And a lot of people feel entrenched in the safety and the security of what they know. And anytime any one of us grows, it has to do with going into the unknown. And part of, I believe, our job as, I'm going to just say, light workers in this world, is to step into those areas of uncomfortability and embrace what we might consider as the other, and realize that that's really just embracing the wholeness that God is. So for somebody who's maybe focused on only the divine feminine, part of it might be, well, what is the divine masculine in this, and how can I embrace the divine masculine? And for those who have been taught their whole lives that there's only a male aspect to God, then opening yourself up to a new possibility causes growth not only within yourself but within the planet. And I really believe that this collaboration between, you know, I want to say our aspects of ourself, of the wholeness of ourself, and our shadow, creates a new idea of possibility for everybody. So I would say for anybody who gets uncomfortable in hearing the word Mother God, or having those terms, you know, find out what is that? What's so scary about it? What is, you know, is it okay that God might be embracing of all? Might be embracing of father and mother, might be embracing of, you know, the child and the adults, and in all aspects of ourself.
Well, that's a good
one thing.
Yeah, that's a great point, because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, God resides within all of us. And so
mm-hmm.
God not only knows any, not God is not only not part of a gender, but he's children, father, mother, aunt, uncle, you name it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's just expanding our concept of God. I mean, God is so, I mean, it's infinite. Like, I can't even wrap my head around that. Like, how big is infinite? It's just extraordinary. And that means it goes through every aspect of what's showing up on this planet. God is showing up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to see and recognize and feel that sense that actually what's going on is part of the wholeness of God expressing itself.
Well, that's an interesting point, and perhaps we could segue at this moment. I'm wondering, where do you believe God is showing up in the political arena? There's been so much upset over the recent election, and there's been a lot of ego that's come into play as a result of that, and it's creating some divisiveness. And I'm wondering, I have to say, to help people's fears.
I think that's a really good question. I've been talking about this a lot on Sunday. You know, one thing is, before the election, I prayed for the highest and best good. And I want to say that I'm surprised what the outcome was, but at the same time, for me, this is the highest and best good. Like, whatever is showing up is the highest and best good. So it's incumbent on me to see how I can be the kind of person that represents what I'm talking about. So if I'm the kind of person who's talking about wholeness and love, well, where am I not loving the other person or the other political party, you know? And if I'm a person who talks about unity and supporting diversity, well, how can I be that example in my life for everybody else? And if I want things to change, where am I changing in myself, and where can I make an impact out into the world in a positive and loving way? And so those are all the questions that I ask myself as election cycle has been very divisive, and it hurts my heart to see it, but at the same time, I recognize that this is our opportunity as spiritual people in the world to be the ones who are reaching out to the other side to create those bridges, to find out, well, if these people believe differently than me, but we, underneath it all, we want good in our lives, how can I create that happening where we can each see each other? Maybe we don't always agree, but we don't have to agree. I mean, we don't want a homogenous planet. We want a planet that's diverse. We want a planet that has a lot of great ideas, and that comes from diversity. And so how can I be the person who maybe starts a conversation with somebody who's different than me so I can figure out maybe there's things that I haven't been seeing. Maybe there's something that I need to know as well. And so I think part of it, for me, it's humbling, but it's also even more of a catalyst for me to do great work in the world. No matter what the results were for the election, I'm still doing the same thing in the world. You know, I'm still loving the same way. And as a matter of fact, for me, it just gives me a more inspiration to stand in my own truth and go, I am love, and I'm going to keep seeing love on this planet, and I'm going to keep being the love until we all are in alignment with that. And so whatever occurred is exactly the right and perfect outcome. And I need to ask myself, you know, how could this be the best possible thing that could have ever happened? How could this be? And just dwell on the question of, well, what good is coming of this? And that's where I've been, is just being in that questioning and being in that state of rumination so I can find clarity on what my next steps are in order to be a great person on supporting the wholeness of the planet. And again, as I was saying, wholeness, you know, divine masculine, divine feminine, there's an equality of that. Well, wholeness also means that I need to look at those parts of myself or the people out into the world who are different than me and see them as part of the wholeness that I am.
Yes.
So.
Well, there's quite a lesson in this, and it sounds like you've looked at many different aspects of that lesson for yourself. I think the important thing for people to keep in mind is that everything, every experience that comes our way is simply a lesson to learn and to be reflective and ask, as you have done, what is the lesson for myself? Because we cannot control other people's attitudes and beliefs. We can only be responsible for ourselves. And I love the way you have looked at how you can be the presence of love in the world and to embrace the diversity of other people. And you talked about what you need to change within yourself. And I think that might be a good topic to talk about for just a couple of minutes, just because so many people have opportunities to work on themselves and don't recognize them. And, you know, a lot of people would not have had some of the inspiring thoughts that you've had about the election, and so maybe you've wakened them up to that possibility. But as different experiences come along, let's just talk for a moment about lessons to be learned and how we can look within to see what needs to be changed and rooted out and nurtured, that sort of thing. Are you still there?
Sorry.
That's all right.
I put myself on mute for a second because I'm outside. I didn't know if you can tell that I'm outside and I have a busy population going on right now.
Okay, that's all right. Well, I had faith you were there. Just thought you were having a pregnant pause and maybe I needed to clarify myself a little bit.
Actually, if you could clarify a little bit, that would be helpful.
Okay. Well, let's see if I can keep it a little more simple. How can people come to see different experiences in their lives as challenges to look within and see what needs to be changed within themselves?
I think for each person, the most important thing is that when a challenge does come up, is to first look at it as if it's from the best and highest good for your life. And I think that, you know, any challenge that comes up, whether it's a death or whether it's a disagreement or whether it's, you know, something that is out of control that happens in our life, looking at that as what if this is the best thing that could have ever happened to me? And how can I find as a result of this experience? And that's really deep work. I mean, that's where the real work comes in. If you are invested in your own spiritual growth and spiritual evolution, then that means that you get that opportunity to look at how am I being in this situation? How do I want to be in this situation? And how can I choose differently to be in alignment with what I want to be? And then looking at what is the gratitude? What are the gifts? I mean, here we are the day after Thanksgiving, and I think that it's such a beautiful holiday. It's probably the best holiday ever because gratitude can shift our perspective from the worst thing ever to the best thing ever, even if it's something traumatic. Just having the gratitude, like this thing that came up for me, for instance, let's say somebody is disagreeing with me in the community. Maybe it's causing me to get more clear on how I communicate. Maybe I can learn how to be a better communicator. And so I have somebody who's maybe disagreeable, but then they're causing me to rise to the occasion of growing my own communication skills. And the same thing can happen in many different areas in our life. So what is this challenge giving me as an opportunity to step into my greatness? And how can I see the benefits from it? You know, when my ex broke up with me, I thought, oh, this is the worst thing in the world. But really what it did is it inspired me to look at how was I not being the type of person I wanted to be in a relationship with? Like where could I have been a better person in the relationship? And I truly believe that because I went and looked within, I changed things about myself. I changed how I behaved in relationships. And because of that, now I have a relationship that I think is super healthy and wonderful because now I'll do the things that I wouldn't do before. But I didn't do them before because I didn't want to. I didn't want to make the work into the relationship. And now I'm willing to do all kinds of things for my relationship. I want my wife to know that she's number one and I adore her. And so I'll do some things that are out of my comfort zone in order for her to know that I care about her. So it's kind of like that. It's like growing in the areas that are uncomfortable zones.
Well, all growth seems to engender a degree of discomfort, growing pains, if you will. And I love some of the things that you had to say, because unless we do allow ourselves to be open to growth, we tend to stagnate, and that's no fun. And so thank you for your thoughts on that. Let's talk a little bit more about gratitude and the role that can play in our lives. Since we are in that season of being grateful for what's given to us. And so if you care to share a little bit on that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. I really, gratitude is one of the most important tools that we could have. I really appreciate that I learned it as a tool. I think that one thing that it does is it shifts our mind and our bodies. I mean, whenever I'm in a bad mood, the one thing I can do is start looking at things to be grateful for. And really, when I'm in a bad mood, I want to be in a better mood. Most people want to be happy. And one thing to do in order for us to have that idea of being happy is to just be grateful. And I use this as a tool. I have another thing is that gratitude focuses on, we attract what we focus on. So if I focus on the things that I'm grateful for, I attract more things to be grateful for. And who doesn't want that?
Right.
So that's, it's so beautiful. It makes you feel good. It attracts more things to be grateful for in your life. And it just helps all around shifting our perspective, my perspective, into a perspective that life is working for me. And I want to have that attitude. I want to have that perspective. And sometimes I'll have a bad day. And sometimes I'll have something really crappy happen. And that's my first tool that I go to is gratitude.
Well, it can certainly raise your level of vibration. And I like what Esther Hicks says about maintaining consistent moments of joy. And if I slip from a consistent moment of joy, gratitude is a tool that I can use to bring me back into alignment with my joy.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so many ways you can use it. Like you can have a gratitude list. You can have a gratitude partner. I do this thing with my wife when we go on a walk. We do 10 prosperity gratitudes and then 10 regular gratitudes. And it's kind of lovely because we could talk about 10 things that happened during the day that we're grateful for. So we get a good conversation going. And the other thing is the prosperity gratitudes are just recognizing how much prosperity I might have coming in my life. And it might be, oh, I found a dime on the sidewalk, or somebody bought me lunch, or, you know, and it just focuses my attention. Like, oh, I didn't have to pay for that parking space because there was money in the meter already. It gives me the opportunity to realize that there's a bigger thing happening here in this universe that's called God, and it's actually supporting us in so many ways. And oftentimes we're not even tuned into it. And so the gratitude helps us tune in to the way that the universe is supporting us. So beautiful.
It is. Let's talk a little bit more about how gratitude attracts abundance into our lives, since you were talking about prosperity.
Just like I said before, anything you focus on expands, right? We've seen this, like if you want a red car and you are going around your day, you're going to see a red car more and more. And if you focus on the prosperity in your world, you're going to receive more prosperity. So, for instance, some ways to think about gratitude and prosperity is how many times, like I had a free table at work. I used to have a free table at work, and I'd get like free fruits and free vegetables and free things. So I'd have, and a lot of people just accept things instead of realizing that that's the universe creating the prosperity in their life. You know, so focusing on that kind of prosperity is going to expand it in your life. It's going to make you not only aware of it, but then it's going to make you create it in a larger and larger way. So it's not just prosperity in money, but it's prosperity in all areas of your life, prosperity in relationships, prosperity in, you know, well, in your finances, in community, finding the little ways of like, hey, somebody helps me with this chore. Well, that's a prosperity. And if you have gratitude for it, then again, you create that expansion and you cause the universe to bring more things into your life that cause you to be grateful for.
Mm. Absolutely true. What would you say to people that tend to go at it backwards and focus on the things that they put out a desire for something that it is that they want, and then they start to focus on how that's missing from their lives and how that affects what may come their way?
Ah, yes, like reverse gratitude.
yeah, like woe is me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing is you got to think about, you know, we are, I think you mentioned Esther Hicks. I think she said that we're, you know, like broadcasting stations, and whatever we broadcast out into the universe is what we see. So I could be broadcasting a frequency, the woe is me frequency, and what I'm going to get is a, you know, more things to think woe is me for. And then I'm only going to see woe is me things, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to see all the different ways, all the evidence in the universe of why my life is crappy, and it's just going to expand upon itself. So if I choose to shift things and recognize, you know, maybe there are some good things going on, and I start looking at the good things instead of me not having the good things, then that starts helping me attract those good things in my life. I do think, though, that people think, oh, I want $1 million. And then they think, then they start looking at all the different ways that they don't have $1 million, they don't have prosperity in their life. And this is where, you know, really just focusing on the little tiny things that make up a big difference really helps a lot. Mm. So if I were, you know, if I had somebody like, I had my train pass paid for by my work. And so I take the train to work every day. And a lot of people don't think, oh, you know, oh, I have a crappy life. But then they don't realize that that train pass costs like $700 a year. And every day I take the train is part of my prosperity. Like the universe provided that for me. And so it's what ways in your life can you find things to be grateful for regarding your prosperity? And one way, if you can't find it right now, think about your past. Like, how many times did a relative or a person help you out? Or how many times, even if somebody has food stamps, I mean, the government is paying for that stuff. There's a whole, you know, a whole group of people that are invested in your livelihood and willing to support you in that way. That's a form of abundance. That means a whole community believes in you, that they're willing to create food stamps so that you can have food and nutrients. So it's really shifting your perspective and starting to look at how much am I supported? How have I been supported in the past? And if I've been supported in the past, why can't it happen again right now? And just being open to that possibility.
You know, I would think that would be especially important for people that are living in less than abundant circumstances. And yet I've met some of the people that I've met who are quote-unquote poor have some of the greatest spirits that I've ever seen. And, you know, we may look at the outer circumstances of our lives and measure our success or happiness or whatever by the amount of money or material things that we have. But there are so many people that count their blessings in other ways. And I think that oftentimes other people tend to forget that it's not about the money. It's about the richness in your life. It's about the contrast. It's about all of the abundance that can come in so many other forms as well as the material realm.
I think that is so beautiful just to recognize that. I mean, I've met really rich people who are poor inside because they're not happy. And it's true. It's not a bank account that makes us happy. It's really the connections that we have with people and us stepping into that love that we are in the world. You know, I've been to Bali, Indonesia, which is a really, really poor country. And man, they were so happy from the taxi driver to the tour guide to each person that I talked to. They were so happy, and yet they were living in conditions of shacks and holes in the ground for toilets. And, you know, I was shocked. And I came back and I felt like here in America, we've really focused so much on the money that we forget what it's like to be human, you know, our humanity is about love and having the richness of deep connections and people that we love, being surrounded by that is so much more important than anything else. At least to me it is. And I really saw that when I went to Bali. It's like these people are, you know, they have nothing, and yet they were filled with joy. And that's what I want for my life, too. I want to be filled with joy no matter what.
Well, I think that is a wonderful example because what fills us up comes from within. And a lot of people look at the outer circumstances in their life thinking that that will make them happy. And it doesn't, and they turn to things like alcohol and drugs and dysfunctional relationships, sex, you name it. And that makes them even more unhappy. I mean, more of a good thing, which may or may not necessarily be good for you, does not spell out happiness.
Yeah, right. And I mean, you and I both know that, right? I've been addicted to drugs before, and I've looked outside of myself for those kinds of things, and it never did. It was very empty. It was mostly filling a hole. And the real hole that I needed to fill was just about loving myself and about discovering love within. And I think that's mostly, you know, that's our job as humans, is how can I start loving myself, and how can I be in a space of love for myself, and then how can I serve and help and love other people? And I think if each human on the planet asked themselves that question and started searching for the answers within and also in communities of support, then I think this world would be really pretty exceptional. And I think that we're all awakening to that on a deep level.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much good happening, so many great communities that are supporting that. And I think so many people that are realizing the love that's within and sharing their love with each other. It's so beautiful to see it.
Well, you know, I was talking with a very spiritual friend of mine last night about one of the most important life lessons, and we both agreed that it is coming to love ourselves, because without that, we tend to reflect those feelings of lack of self-esteem into other areas of our lives where we can't really give away what we don't have. We can't give love freely to other people if we don't have it within ourselves. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. I think that is the most important thing, is to find love within ourselves. And if you don't know how, then go to a spiritual center, or go to, you know, I think AA or any of the anonymous programs are great ways to get tools to help you go within and serve yourself first. Because we're all made of this star stuff. We're all made of the divine. I mean, God created each and every one of us equally, beautifully, loves us all equally, beautifully. So there's nothing wrong about us in the eyes of the divine. The only thing wrong about us is what we think about us. And how can I turn within and say, my body is a temple. I am made of God stuff. Would I treat, you know, a sacred prophet the way I treat myself? Would I treat somebody who I have in high regard the way I treat myself? And if the answer is no, then it's starting to look within and saying, you know what, I should be treating myself with high regard. I should be treating my body in a way that supports it, because it's made up of God stuff. And whenever I go into that place of recognizing that I haven't been treating myself very kindly, you know, like I'll have the voice in my head that's telling me really bad things about myself. I mean, I know everybody has that voice. I have that voice. And I go, wow, would I even say this to my best friend? Would I even treat, you know, anybody else like that? And if the answer is no, then I need to clean up my act. You know, I need to step into the place of recognizing that I deserve to be treated well, kindly, and with love. And that does start within. So,
well, it seems to me, let me ask you what rather than saying what it seems to me, let me ask you what role judgment plays in terms of being loving or unloving towards oneself and others.
I think it plays a role of everything. I mean, if you're not being loving to yourself, it's very likely that you're judging yourself. And even more, if you recognize somebody else is not being loving towards you, has nothing to do with you. It has more to do with that other person and how they feel about themselves. So really, it's like the four agreements. From Don Miguel Ruiz, don't take anything personally.
Yes.
Always do your best. You know, I really love that. Don't take anything personally. And you can even, the judgment that you have against yourself, try not take it personally.
Yeah.
You know, go, You know, it's like, it's an old tape. It's an old behavior. It's something that I took on from who knows when, but that's not really who I am. You can recognize that who each and every one of us is absolutely worth being cherished and loved and adored. We're deserving of it. And so many of us just need to start that first with ourselves, and then we'll start seeing it out in the world.
Well, we certainly can be our own worst enemy, and I think it's because a lot of people, they take a look at the dark sides of themselves, and we all have them, and they go into a place of judgment and start beating themselves up instead of recognizing that it's just part of their humanness and that there are lessons to be learned there and choices to be made. What do you think about that?
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, I think one of the work that I've been doing recently is shadow work. And the shadow work is, where are all the places of myself that I don't love? What are all those things that I do that I don't love about myself? And then asking myself, how is this serving me? For instance, if I get really, I react some way and I get really mad. I don't like that I get really mad. But yet, that's part of my humanity. And I recognize that as I look at the shadow aspect of myself, the ragey part of myself, I know that usually when I get to that point, it's really comes from a history that my body's trying to protect myself. I'm trying to protect myself, and so I go into a behavior of rage because I want to protect myself. And so really, this rage that I have is merely me trying to protect myself. And can I love the fact that I'm actually trying to protect myself? I mean, I can love that little aspect of ragey me and say, you know what, little Abigail, you're just trying to be protective. And that's very sweet. I appreciate you for being protective. That doesn't mean I have to step into it and act it out, but it does mean that I get to love that aspect of myself. And when I start loving that aspect of myself, then I notice how much it dissipates in my life because I'm embracing that shadow side of me. I'm embracing that human aspect that I don't like, and then I start liking it. You know, I'm like, oh, it's good. Sometimes I need to be ragey, but that's okay. And now it doesn't show up very much anymore because I love little ragey Abigail, you know, like the person who was a little kid, and she was, you know, I was, as a kid, my parents called me hot-headed because I was so mad. I'd get so mad at things. But now I just love that. You know, I'm just like, oh, it's sweet. It's sweet that I want to be protective, and that's the behavior that I've used, and it's okay not to use it, but it is okay in myself when I recognize it's coming up to just be okay with it. So that's what I've been learning over the last year. It's like all of those different shadow pieces of ourselves. When we embrace the aspects of the other, you know, the part of me that I don't like, that's really when I start becoming whole, when I start seeing the beauty in everything, including the challenging things, the challenging aspects of myself, the challenging aspects of other people. And I just recognize that that's part of the beauty of the whole. And that's all that God is, one beautiful wholeness expressing itself even in my rage.
Well, that's a very unique take on that, and I appreciate that. I've had that aspect of myself to deal with in my past, and I've done a lot of work on that, and some of the things that you mentioned earlier have been helpful, and that is recognizing that whatever somebody else puts out is not about me, it's about them, and so I need to take responsibility for what I put out, and that it's really just a matter of disengaging from the ego and coming from a spirit of love. And then that oftentimes disarms somebody else.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is, everything is either a call to love or a call for love.
Mm. Love that.
And that was Reverend Georgia Prescott said that. It was really good.
That sounds like Course in Miracles, too.
Maybe that's where she got it from.
I don't know, but they talk about when somebody else is acting in a negative way that it really is a cry for love. And, you know, I think that's really true. And it takes a lot of insight to be able to recognize that we all are seeking love at some level, and a lot of people don't love themselves. And so we are teachers. We're all teachers and students to one another. And the best thing that we can teach is love, and we need to do that by being an example of love.
Exactly.
Earlier, you used the word choose, and I don't remember the context, but I was just thinking of asking you about the power of choice in our lives and how that can empower us.
The power of choice is our, well, can you hold on just 1 second?
Yes.
I'm going to sneeze. Hold on just a second.
That's all right. No problem. I was waiting for a sneeze. You must have muted yourself, so I'll say God.
I did mute myself. Yeah, I did. So the power of choice is, it's our only power that we have. I mean, we have the power to choose everything, how we want to be in our life, I think the thing is we have the power to choose how to react in every situation. So you're going to have, you know, things are going to happen in your life. You know, they say that life is what happens when we're busy making other plans. Mm-hmm. So we plan on doing one thing and then life happens and it's something completely different.
Right.
And the question is, how are we going to choose to be in that situation? Or if we have a really challenging thing happening, how do you want to, whenever you have this challenge in your life, when you look back at it, how do you wish you were? And if you, so you can choose to be that person that you wish you were. And maybe that would be a person of integrity. Maybe that's a person of love. So, like, maybe if you're dealing with a divorce or something like that, how would you want to be in the situation? And then you get to choose to be that. So each and every opportunity is a new choice. And that's kind of the beauty of things, is even if in the past you may have made some mistakes or you made some choices that you might feel bad about, well, you always have an opportunity to choose again. Each and every moment is like a new choice, a new opportunity. Even every second, like even if 10 seconds ago you reacted in a way that you wish you hadn't, well, you have a new choice at this very moment. How do you want to choose to be right now? So that's what I do every day. And I think that's helped in forgiveness and forgiving ourselves, is choosing differently. Like, that's what I chose at that moment, and now I'm choosing differently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to choose to be a different person. You don't have to be the same person you were yesterday. You don't have to be the same person you were a year ago. You could choose to be different.
How can we work with our thoughts so that we're present to the moment and capable of making those choices instead of just reacting from some primal instinct?
Well, I think that it takes determination, and it takes tools, you know, clarity, and it also takes the power of habitual creation. So if I want to continue to choose positive things, then, you know, maybe I'll take a step forward and I'll choose positive, and then I'll have some kind of belief system or something kind of knock me off my target that I'd like to be going to. Well, then I choose to go back. It's just like a diet or a, you know, workout plan. It's like you're gonna not have it happen sometimes. Well, you just choose again, and you just keep that habit going until it is your regular habit.
Well, I believe that resonates for me. Let me put it that way. I was also thinking earlier when you were talking about challenges, about something that a life coach said to me when I was referring to challenges. I said that, you know, at points I've looked at things that I have struggled with and reframed them in what I thought was a more positive way, and that was to look at things that I was challenged by. And he said, well, you know, even when you use the word challenge, you are suggesting that there is an underlying problem. And really all it is a learning opportunity. And I thought, whoa, well, that puts a whole new spin on it, because it takes away any negative connotation connected to a seeming problem. What do you think about that?
I love that. I think that's a beautiful way to look at things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so much fine-tuning that we can do and need to do if we're going to grow.
Right.
You know, and we can always learn. I once had a woman that I did some volunteer work with. She was dying from cancer, and she had dementia. And she tended to repeat herself, but there was one thing that she repeated over and over that struck me as so profound and so true, and that was, one never stops learning.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely, and I think that is so important in life to recognize, is that, well, not only do we not stop learning, but for me, I want to continue to be teachable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To be open to the fact, maybe I don't know it all, and maybe there's so much more for me to learn, and maybe even these big concepts that I think are right for me, I'm going to say, maybe there's even better ways of looking at things, and I know that I'm going to have this opportunity to just be open to being teachable my whole life, and see how I can expand and grow by just taking on that point of view.
How can we work at being more open?
Well, I think one way is to recognize where am I closed? You know?
Right.
Where am I closing people off? And then starting to turn towards those areas and being open to maybe another point of view. Maybe somebody who's different than me. So having conversations with people who are different than me, I think, is a really great place to start. You know, maybe somebody who has a different religious philosophy, or they look different than me, they have a different skin color, or they're brought up in a different economic status, and have those conversations with people with the idea of, I'm not going in to have this conversation to tell you how I'm right and you're wrong, but more of, I just want to know who you are. I just want to know what you believe. I just want to understand you. And I think going in with that idea opens us up to new possibilities of learning and expanding and growing and seeing the world with new eyes that support this idea that I want to create, which is a world that works for everyone.
Mm. Well, it seems to me that the first step to that would be to be willing. And that, I think, applies to any aspect of our lives, don't you?
Absolutely. And I mean, that's so important, is to just be willing to step out courageously into the uncomfortable areas of ourselves or our lives. Mm. And maybe even just stating to the universe, you know, I'm willing and I'm open to new experiences. I'm willing, I'm open to new ideas, new possibilities. I'm willing, I'm open to growth. I'm willing, I'm open to seeing with new eyes in a way that keeps me growing, in a way that keeps me seeing joy, in a way that keeps me seeing new possibilities. Sometimes it's just stating it out loud.
Mm.
And then God or the universe, whatever you call it, starts creating upon that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, we're coming to the close of the hour. I wondered if you'd take us out with a prayer.
I would love to.
Thank you.
Yeah, hold on just a moment. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this amazing opportunity to be here, to be amongst these amazing ideas. I know that God is everywhere present. God is in me. God is in David. God is in each and every listener. And there is something magnificent that is happening in and through each and every one of us. It is about being open. It is about being willing. It is about stepping into this new idea of possibility for each and every one of us and creating a world that works for everyone. And so I know and claim that any resistance or any areas where I have been closed, I declare that I am open to seeing with new eyes today. I'm open to welcoming new possibilities in my life as I am welcoming that for each and every listener here. I'm so grateful to know that there is something magnificent, something better and greater than I could ever imagine that is occurring on the planet right now. And I know and claim that it is occurring in a way that is supportive of our country. I know and claim that it's occurring in our system, our politics. And so I see with new eyes today. I see with a new way of being, recognizing that this possibility of love and light is happening in our world right here and right now. And so I recognize it. I claim it. I know it. I love it. I appreciate it. I release this prayer knowing God's got it. It's already done. And so it is.
Amen.
And amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Yes. Well, it's been a pleasure. The time just keeps speeding by, and I think the last time we talked was last Christmas time. So I'm going to take the opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas and a blessed holiday season.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. So once again, we come to a close. Now let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. And the next time you're on the show, let's talk about that idea.
I love it.
Okay. Take good care.
All right. You too, David.
Okay. God bless.
God bless. Bye.
Bye.